What's up, Nelson?
Not much, sir. How are you?
I'm not that much older than you, am I? How young are you?
I'm 42. 43, actually.
We got a decade apart, man.
That's not bad.
How come you got no gray hair? You're in construction.
Oh, it's coming.
Is it coming?
It's coming.
I'm trying to figure out when mine started showing up. I don't think I was in my... probably late 40s.
Nah, mine was probably... 35.
You got some?
Some. I got a few.
Yeah?
I keep it short. Keep the hair short.
How long you been in the business?
Since I was about 18.
It's a long career.
24, 25 years.
We're going to have an interesting show. We're going to talk about a little bit of plumbing, a little bit of electrical, a little bit of mechanical. What else are we going to talk about? What else? You know, you do something else. Don't you do something else? Oh, you do plumbing, mechanical?
Plumbing, mechanical, HVAC, electrical.
Electrical.
Sprinkler division we just opened up.
A what division?
Sprinkler division.
Oh, you're doing sprinklers as well? You're going to get into security and automation?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No, not yet. That's a little bit out. Maybe we'll never do that, right? But
heard there's good money in it.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Yeah, there's lots.
But
just sprinkler. Sprinkler for now. Fire protection install.
Yeah, fire protection. Yeah.
Service work.
Who comes in? I'm just curious. I'm trying to remember because I had another guy on the show too. And so, yeah, you're dealing with the fire marshal. Right? They're coming in and proving things. Are they the inspecting body?
Well, I'm not too familiar with that. More than the time, there's the engineers on site, right?
Okay.
Engineers, and then you have the city inspectors. So more for that, I'm not too familiar with that portion.
Okay. Nelson's here from CJ. Okay, so CJ's Express Plumbing and Electrical Limited.
Yep.
Now, you realize that it says sex in your name, right?
It does, okay. Yeah.
All right. I get it that it's CJ's, so it's CJS, and then it's Express Limited. But then when you look at it, sex is in your name. But there's lots of sex in construction.
Oh, really?
I mean, lots of sexiness in construction. I love it that it is. So it's www.cjsexpress.ca. You can get him at his email at Nelson, OLIVERRA.
N Oliveira. So OLIVEIRA.
Hey, at cjsexpress.ca. Area code 519-621-3111. What else do I want to share there? I think that's it. So we'll talk a little bit of mechanical and stuff. I'm wearing Caven's hat, Caven's cap. Isn't it? Caven Contracting?
Caven Contracting.
Yeah, Caven Contracting. That's right. I'm going to be doing hats for a little while because a lot of people have given me hats for a while, so I'll throw hats on, caps on. All right. 18 years old? Old man in the business?
Yeah, my dad started this company. Yeah. He was, it was in 96. In 96, 97, I was 16. And
working
just a
with
kid,
him?
Right? No, not yet. No, I was just young. He used to work for a service company and then got laid off one day and then just started his own business the next day. Had good hookups. He had a good partner and they just took off doing service calls and Sobeys, IGA, stuff like that.
So all the commercial stuff.
All the commercial stuff, yeah.
Never dove into the resi side of the business?
They did. Very small. Again, service work was whoever called, right? Service leaky taps, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
New houses, they do, you know, maybe 2-3 a year type of thing. But that was pretty much it. It was just two of them.
What's the biggest service problem in the commercial world? What's the number one thing that's repetitive over and over?
Well, plug drains.
Plug drains, right?
Plug drains, very common. Happens.
What's the nastiest thing you ever pulled out from a drain?
Well, we've seen it all. I've seen it all, right? So, like, we pulled those shorts, T-shirts, you know, in factories.
How did it get in there?
People find a way. Go down the toilets.
So the...
You know, people do it on purpose. You know, there's a lot of commercial facilities...
You don't question why. You question how to get it out.
You see it. You see it. And I know there's only one or two ways that it can get into the drain, right? It's either got to fit down the toilet or someone's going to purposely put it in there, right? So it happens.
The toilet's the only way to get it in there.
Yeah,
unless they find the clean out somewhere. And then, but why would they open it up and put it in through the clean out?
Well, again, you would hope that they wouldn't, but we don't know how these things get down there. You know, sometimes it's could be accidental during the install if that was a new building, maybe, right? New building, a rag, whatever, but 30-year building, you know, warehouses, We just pull things out. Pull diapers out of toilet tanks.
Septic tanks, you mean?
Like no. Toilet tanks.
What's a toilet? What do you mean? Tank. Oh, the tank.
The tank, yeah.
A diaper in the tank?
Diaper in the tank, yeah. Just because people didn't want to put it in the garbage. You know, they just change their baby right there, boom, open the tank, put it in the tank.
Wouldn't that technically make the water...
Well, that water goes into the toilet, right? Yeah. So, but the diaper's wrapped up. You know, it's not
saturated.
Leaking. It's just saturated. That's all it is, right?
Why the hell would you put a diaper?
People do crazy things.
They just figure that that's how they're going to get rid of it? And then what? Just one diaper or several diapers?
Well, no. Like the one incident was just the one time where there was a diaper in the tank, right? So that was just one. So, but many buildings, commercial buildings, warehouses, office buildings. There's random things.
Do people just do this shit because they really don't care about once it goes down the chute, once it goes down the drain, it's not my problem anymore?
No, 100%. Baby wipes.
Yeah, we know the story about baby wipes.
The baby wipes, the female products.
Yeah.
You know.
Can you solve this problem by making the pipe and the infrastructure larger?
No.
Probably not.
No.
It would just create a bigger problem.
It's just what it is, right?
I just don't understand why people are just nasty that way, that they just think that, okay, it's not my problem anymore. I'm going to throw it down. It's on the other side of the wall.
Yep.
We don't do that all that often. It happens, right? In residential. Like, I don't think that.
No, residential. Just residential. You'll get your normal, you know, again, tampons or baby wipes, plugged, grease in the line, right? Just where the kitchen sink is, stuff like that, right?
But grease has got to be big, too, in high-rise as well.
In high-rise it is, yeah.
And then also, yeah. Like, I went to a friend's place that he's renovating the restaurant. It used to be an old Thai restaurant. They're turning it into, an egg breakfast place. And he's showing me the kitchen. And I was like, dude, I don't want to go anywhere near there. And he's going, you don't have any idea. When we started demolishing this, there was cockroaches in here, like, huge cockroaches. Oh, yeah. And I was like, dude, yeah, I don't want to go anywhere near here, man. He's like, yeah, but that stove there is $60,000. I was going, I don't want to go anywhere near here, man. It's just pure. I saw some of they cut open some of the pipes. So, you know, there's clean outs everywhere. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They do it on purpose. But I'm like looking at him and going, I don't want to go anywhere near this, man. How do you guys, I can smell it. Like, how do you guys survive that?
Well.
It smells like money though, right?
It's not that it smells like money. Someone's got to do it, right? Like that's our job. Our service guys, our service division, if that's something, or even our new construction, if that's part of a new job, that's part of our job. It's part of our job, right? They still have to get that clean, right? At the end of the day, it's got to be sanitary for someone to walk in, right? We can always refuse work to a certain point, right? And there's certain points where it's like, you know what? This is disgusting. This is not my problem, right? Clean this, fix this up. Then we'll come in and do what we got to do, right? We're not there to, you know, and people take advantage of the system to where they know that they have a plugged toilet. It's been plugged for days, but they keep using it, you know, keep dumping in it, you know, and not only my experience only, but people I know that have rental properties and stuff like that, it happens. You walk in there and there's a mountain of shit.
Literally.
And they're looking at you like, it's plugged. Yeah, I know it's plugged. Clean it. And when that's clean, then we'll come do our job. Because that's just taking advantage, right? And there's been times where we've had to. We have to say, yeah, we're not doing that.
So they continuously use the toilet, knowing that it's not working, and then they expect you to include that as part of the service call.
Some people do. Some people do, yeah.
Is that part of the service call? It's not. No. Like, you know, no. If you shat all over the toilet.
No, that's
not part of the service call.
No, absolutely not.
That's just you being a pig.
Absolutely not. No, that's just people. That's just, yeah.
People are just being pigs at that point.
Some people choose to do that, right? So.
Where's the clog? I guess is the clog in the toilet or is the clog in the pipe or it's both?
Oh, it could be anywhere. Could be in the toilet. Could be in the pipe, 5 feet, 10 feet. Could be something, right? It could be anywhere.
Wait, are you ticketed for plumbing or electrical? Which one? Are you
I am plumber, pipe fitter, gas fitter.
Okay, so you're ticketed for that.
Yeah.
And then how come you didn't get into the electrical?
So electrical, we just kind of got into it because, again, I'm a plumber, right? Yeah. That's my background. That's what I know, right? Yeah. So we've been doing that for, you know, 27 years, and we just brought in the electrical lightly to have at least one guy on staff to do any low voltage wiring, help with service calls, and, you know, for changing pumps, boilers, running low voltage wire and throughout buildings, right? Just to keep someone going if we need them on the fly for something, right? Subcontractors, we just, it was easiest for us to just do it ourselves, right? Get busier and kind of see.
Of course.
And then from there, right, things evolved and our electrical division is now moving, right? We're doing some projects in Cambridge. And, yeah, Scuff for Schools, Guelph.
Okay.
And so it's been pretty good.
For the most part, Nelson, like, are most clients respectful of you guys?
Yeah, they're all good. They're all very respectful. Yeah. Like because, again, it's all just different market, right? There's the residential market, which is strictly service.
On the service side, you're coming in, you're saving the day, right? And like you said, you describe the toilet the way it is. Yep. You're finding it in the worst condition possible.
Sometimes, yeah.
Right? And so all of a sudden, are they respectful of you being the professional coming here to solve this problem that they've created?
Some are, yeah. Some are very happy and they're, you know, no big deal. This is the problem. It's fixed. You know, it took 2 hours, took an hour. As long as it's a fair price, which is what we always want. This is the cost of the material and our labor costs money.
Of course.
And we're not cheap labor. We're skilled labor. So this is what it is. And as long as it's a fair price, I know that some people have set numbers, which again, that's totally up to them. It's up to them. It's up to everybody. Ours is by the hour. This is how long we were here. This is what the material is. Here's the cost. Could be 200. Could be 800.
And that's all agreed before you even start doing anything.
Well, no, because a lot of the times, you know, like we're not going to quote it right away, right? Some people just say, hey, come in. This is what I need. Can you get it done today? Can you get it done right now? It's a service call. Change the toilet. So that's all by the hour, right? So it's not always an agreed price unless it is a quoted number, right?
Your dad, I'm trying to figure out, so back in the day when he was, I guess, your age or slightly younger, what was he charging for a service call? It was the same deal?
Same thing, always by the hour.
By the hour,
always
right?
By the hour, yeah. Over time, obviously.
It goes
price up. Inflates,
the right? Price, right? So what was it back, do you remember?
Back in the day when he started in 97, I think it was around, say, $65 an hour.
And what's it today?
Today, it's $105 an hour.
That seems plus small.
Plus $65 trucks, fuel supply.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, you know what?
Am I wrong to say that low. Seems low?
It could be a little low, but I mean, at the end of the day.
For the service you're providing?
Again, that's not only us, right? There's everybody else in the area, right? We got to be competitive.
Of course,
right?
Yeah.
So, and if everybody goes up to 130, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll jump on. Right?
Oh,
at the end of the day, this is what we've gone to trade school for. This is what we do, right? Like we're trained professionals, right? We're the doctors of our industry.
But if I was on your staff and I showed up at a job site, right? You give them a price point. But if I walk in there and it's a Jackson Pollock, I'm going to be like, there's a surcharge for Jackson Pollock, right? You got shit everywhere. Like this is like,
just disgusting. That's different. Of course, something like that. That's different. That even gets a higher number just because of what it is.
What how they left it in place.
That's right.
That
would just be, you know, it's a cleanup charge or
because you can't work around the toilet if it's like that, right?
No, of course.
It's just disgusting.
It's got to be, it's got to be workable, right? It's got to be normal, right?
Now I understand the electric.
Wearing hazmat suits, that's only on TV, right? Unless you have to, unless that's part of what it is. And if someone's paying you to do that, right? If someone's paying me to do that, absolutely. If we got to put a hazmat suit on, we had to do that in Sarnia.
Why? What did you guys discover?
We did a 9-story repipe where the building was infested with bed bugs and cockroaches. So that building was deemed that. The project had to go on. So we knew that.
So this was a building, new construction building?
No. This was a building repipe. So it's a low-income housing in Sarnia.
And there was an infestation of both of them?
Both of them, yeah.
So you guys had to work still, but you had to work with suits.
So we had to work with white.
Weren't you guys paranoid about bringing that shit home?
Well, I wasn't on that site.
Yeah, but
so
your crew, though.
I would have been paranoid just like them, right?
I would have been.
Bringing that stuff home, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to definitely put down the trunk or drag it in the back.
Yeah, I'd be doing the whole hazmat thing clean before you even get into the vehicle right?
Again, those are sometimes the conditions for that, but someone's got to do something, right? Whether it's a cleanup company or whatever it is, they would still be wearing the same suits to clean that, right? So at the end of the day,
I know, but
we have to work in that condition for that building only. That was only 6 weeks.
Stop being chained to your construction company. That's what Revelate delivers to contractors like you who are trying to figure out AI and automations. I hear it all the time with guys I talk to, and it sounds like they spend way more time on things that waste money. Here's how Revelate does it. They study your business. They build custom AI software and automation tech to fit your process. They train you and your staff so you can save 50% of your time on the stuff that slows you and your projects down. You got into the trades to build things, not to be buried under endless admin work and broken systems. I know every day feels like you're solving the same problems instead of moving forward. That's why Revelate was created. They grew up in the construction industry and have been a part of it for more than 15 years. They know the grind and they work to fix it. Within weeks, you and your team and your business are saving half of your time on the stuff that keeps you from getting home and enjoying life. No more nights buried in the paperwork, just more time building and living. Stop being stuck in chaos. Let Revelate help you build something better. Book a demo. It's an easy chat and it's free. Book time now. www.revelate.com or on IG at revelate.inc or call them at 416-474-5755. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
So, you figure that with the Ministry of Labor, site conditions, right? Workers.
Site conditions, but again, at the end of the day, it's not like there. I can't say that there was, you know, they were everywhere. No, you wouldn't see them. Yeah, you would see one here and there.
But there was evidence.
It
that
was
they
known
were there.
That it was there, so it wasn't like it was bananas, right? Again, they were not. You would see one, like I said, here and there, right? So just to keep everybody cautious, you got to put a suit on, right?
Right. That's how do you plumb with a suit on?
Well, it's not. It's almost like wearing this.
And then you just put the tools all around you? Or what?
Like, if we have tool belts, yeah.
But then do you have to fumigate all your tools? You got to make sure that your buckets and your packouts are like
at that time. I don't think we did at that time, to be honest, because it just wasn't a big deal, right?
There's a social media post, eh? Milwaukee packout with a bunch of roaches in it.
Oh, is there?
I'm just saying there would be. That's the image, right? Because you would bring your tools in. You'd bring the whole dolly in. You'd have it there. Roaches are doing what they're doing, and they're going to come right in and start hanging out. I'd be paranoid.
Well, yeah. Again, at that time, we just carry on, right? We just did it.
You just do it.
We just did it, right? And I think I would still do it today. Like, it wouldn't be a big deal, right? We still got to plumb, still got to do things. People are still going to live here. We still got to give them that, right? So we got to wear suits. We got to wear suits, right? And again, like I said, it's not like what you think. Of what you're thinking it is.
No, I'm thinking it's like a horror movie where it's everywhere and you're like...
Yeah. No.
They're all crawling over you. It's not like that. No. It's like one it's or two like here and there if you can even catch
whatever
them.
They deem.
Yeah.
Whatever they deem it infested, whether it's one or two that they saw here or whatever, that's fine. But again, it wasn't like it was out of this world.
Right? How's the new guy feel when he shows up and that's what he's got to experience or she's got to experience?
Well, you should have did your research, right?
That's reality.
That's reality. That's reality.
There are going to be some projects that you guys are going to get that are not going to be the perfect, you know, luxurious bathroom from these high-end clients.
Working in live buildings where, you know, you got to cut the drain open. Right? It happens, right? You can't tell 10 rooms not to use the bathroom, but they're going to do it anyways. Right? They don't care, right? And not that I said they don't care. It could have just been a plain accident. But it happens, right? We have to expect that. Try to time that as best as possible so that there's as little mess as you have to do. If you got to take a fitting off, you got to do the repair, you know, new construction, right? When you put it in, you find a leak. People just moved in. Oh, you got to cut it apart. You cannot stop anybody from not using the bathroom in a building.
Nelson, how do you time it?
Not time it. I should just say, you know.
You got to cut the pipe.
Yeah, but it all depends, right? Are we going to do it at 5 o'clock at night? Probably not, because the building's going to be full, right? So either we try to do it at night, you know, after midnight, or on a downtime if they know when the building is least occupied. Then that way we can, you know.
Don't do it over Super Bowl.
Don't do it when it's 8 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock when people get home, right? We got to time it, yeah? And hope for the best.
Job ever get like, I'm done with this shit, literally?
No.
This is what you love doing?
No. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This is love doing it.
You solve problems. You're fixing things.
I'm trying to every day. Yeah. Trying to solve problems, whether it's on the field or talking on site with somebody or in the office, something, right?
You ever think a robot's going to replace you guys? Nah.
No.
There's not even a robot's not going to do this shit.
No, we'll never
literally
be replaced.
Like, they're always going to still want a human being to be doing this.
Well, there's, I don't care how smart the robot is, you still,
you need to figure it
you
out.
You still,
skills,
this, that, you know, installation, that'll never happen. They can make the equipment, but.
All the commercial buildings, aren't they, they're all cast iron, aren't they?
No, they're a mix. They're a mix of cast iron and plastic, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was always a standard that you had to go cast iron.
No, no, it all depends on the specification of that job and the municipality maybe, right? So.
And they'll use what, ABS or PVC?
No, we'll use XFR.
The gray.
The dark gray stuff.
The dark gray,
with the green letters.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That's the same as cast iron, right?
Okay.
Similar, not the same, right? But they put it in the same category. So we can either do that or certain buildings, six-story down, we can use System 15 plastic also.
What's that? That's also different gray?
That's just
gray?
A downgrade of, just for different classes of the
building. But still gray.
Still gray, yeah.
Still gray.
Still gray.
And then supply-wise, copper still?
No, plastic. Plastic PEX? PEX is the way to go, yeah.
Really, yeah?
And again, in all different applications.
Three-quarter or like what?
All sizes.
Really?
All sizes, yeah.
But the main to get to each of the units?
Can still be plastic.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was all just deemed. Yeah.
Everything's
changing?
A lot of things go into plastic, and as long as it meets the fire code and the specifications, right? So that's the biggest thing, right? Fire code, plumbing codes, stuff like that, you still got to meet that. So you can use stainless, copper, plastic.
So what kind of person needs to be aware of this? Like, what kind of individual would love it the same way that you love it? Because if you try to go to trade schools right now and tell them, this is the industry, service is really well, you'll make a lot of money, you'll provide a lot of great skill, but these are some of the bullshit, literally things that you're going to go through. I don't think there's going to be a long line up there of people with their hands up.
No, they won't, but there still will be. You know? It's kind of hit or miss, right? Like, there's always going to be the hardworking kid, guy or girl that just wants to go nuts, right? Do their job, do it well, right? Not care about the times, you know, waking up in the morning and at night, right? That was me. I could care less.
Oh, yeah, you're on call with
the... Whether we were on call or, you know, something had to happen, we had to do a tie-in or... No big deal, let's go, you know.
Is it the same for... It's the same for mechanical, for HVAC.
HVAC's the same thing.
In winter months when boilers go down or when AC goes down?
Well, yeah. HVAC again. HVAC, AC guys in the wintertime, right? Boilers going down, all that stuff. In the summer, AC is going down. So, yeah, it's...
At least with that,
you've got that's 24 hours a day, right? That doesn't stop.
Because if it goes down, it goes down. You got to call the service tech. You guys come in. Then you guys got to problem solve, figure it out, and then fix the problem.
Yeah, and it could be something so simple, right? It could be something that, unfortunately, might take a day or two or something to get, and hopefully not, but... Hopefully it's always a quick fix or else you're down with no heat for X amount of days or down with no AC for X amount of days.
See, it's kind of funny, Nelson, how it's like when I drive around and I see all these condo towers, I see these guts, right? I see the mechanicals behind all this shit. And I'm just, I don't think a lot of homeowners or people in general pay attention to the network of servicing that is required for every single tower. And that's just one tower. And now you multiply by how many towers that there are and how many more are still going up. Like, all we do is they sell them on the prettiness of how the sunlight's coming in and the, you know, laminated hardwood that's there and the open concept kitchen and yada, 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 yada. But there's the infrastructure, mechanically speaking, that has to be serviced and maintained where you guys come in.
Yep.
Where I start having the major problem where I've spoken out, said, listen, you can keep on throttling down access vehicle-wise to get to these buildings, it's just going to make life a lot worse when these buildings start to fail. And they will fail over time. People will throw shit down and destroy certain...
Yep.
And now you got to bring service techs in and they have to get in there with their tools. And what do you do at that point? You can't keep on shutting down the vehicles from getting to these buildings that need this service.
Yep. Everything's in the vehicles, right?
Yeah.
Everything's in the vehicles, whether it's tools.
You're not driving the vehicle up to the unit. You got to park it somewhere.
Park it somewhere, drag it upstairs.
Yeah. Or whatever, and then take the stairs or elevator, go up there. And then problem solve and work it.
Yep.
But everyone looks at the, oh, look at this beautiful tower here. Look at this tower. Look at that tower.
Yeah, it's the thing that people are just unaware of, right? They don't get that that's what it is, right? We have to park it. We got to unload it. We got to go in, do our thing, whatever it is, whether it takes 10 minutes, 20 minutes. You might have to go back to the truck two or three times, get a couple cases of whatever it is that you're troubleshooting, right? Repair tools. Yeah, as long as we're organized, right? As long as we're not going back for a screwdriver and this and that, right? You want to be prepared. All the tools, ready to rock, tool belts to walk in and do your thing, right?
Do your thing.
If you need two trips, you need two trips.
Is it most of the time, Nelson, it's like one person comes or you have a two-man team?
No, we have, it's just a one-person team, okay, each person. Right. Unless it's two people needed, then we send somebody else.
The scope of work is involved, then that's what, but for the most calls, it's one-person team.
Mostly.
Kind of intimidating, though, for young guys, right?
Well, they don't start off going off of their own, right? Like they're with somebody else.
They got a shadow and they got
That's right. They got someone that they're going to be with.
Then they fly solo.
That's right. And then once you're good to fly solo, then it only takes a few days to get, you know, communicating, paperwork, so on and so forth. In the meantime, someone has already been with them, right?
Yeah.
So they've already done that. And who knows their last 8 months or the whole time that they've been with them that this guy's been doing the work and showing, and this guy's always been doing the billing to know that this is how we do it, right? And if you're always doing the billing, now you know how to do that. You do that after you do the work. Do the work, do the paperwork, fill it out the way you're supposed to, submit it, and carry on, right?
See, I'm fascinated by this world, eh? I can smell it, but I'm fascinated by this world, right? Because it's an important world.
It is.
And it takes a special individual, man, to do this shit, right?
Yeah. And we're lacking in them.
Why? Well, because at face value, hell no, I'm not going to do that job.
But then keep in mind, again, that's not all the time.
Right? No.
It
comes up.
It comes up.
Probably, as many times as statutory holidays?
Yeah, exactly. Could be one a month, two months.
That's what I mean, right?
Right, could be. But again, at the end of the day, it's going
to
happen.
But you're providing a service and you got the skill set to solve the problem. You're making good money, right? But I guess doesn't look good on the Tinder profile for the young guys who are dating.
Well, you never know. It might actually help them.
Why? Because they could save the day?
No, because they're tradesmen.
Someone should start a tradesman dating app, eh? Specifically just for trades. I joked about that years ago, eh? I started learning earlier in my construction career. I found out that plumbers were the most promiscuous trade out of all the trades. They were always the ones that were going on to estimates late at night, fully showered, perfumed, cologned up, and they would go and do a service call. But they weren't doing a service call. They were actually going out and meeting so-and-so, right?
Really?
And that's why they got the label of being... I don't know who it is today. This is like 10 years ago.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So I figure maybe the plumbers are still it. I don't know who else would be it. Maybe a close second would be electricians, but electricians get all the gay memes that are going on out there, right? So I don't know if it's electricians, but I think maybe the plumbers are the players of the construction industry.
Yeah, I don't know, man, maybe. I do have a couple buddies who are in the industry who, you know, things happened and it is what it is, right? But it's good for them, right?
I'm just thinking about the young guys because obviously they want to get in because they hear the dollar value, what's associated with it. They learn the skills and they know how to do the job.
It's a great living.
But they still want to date, right? They want to get out there and meet people.
Well, they're not on call every day, days a week, but it is what it is, right?
But when you are on a call, then you're all of a sudden, it's no different than a firefighter or whatever. Like you're on call, right? There's so many different career options that will keep you on call and you got to go.
That's right. Right. That's why
paramedics, everybody.
Paramedics, 100%. Yeah. And again, too, right, there is a difference between, you know, construction plumbers and service plumbers, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a big difference, right?
Yeah.
Construction plumbers have a set time. That's their time. Service guys, you'll be on call maybe the same day every week or the next 7 days. You know, these 7 days, you're on call. That's it, right? Where, again, construction guys, a lot of those guys don't want to do that. They just want to go to work, do their job, and not be on call, right?
I know.
So it does take a special individual to just want to, you know, do it, be on call, and, you know, not everyone wants that.
I had Jonathan Burnaby from S&J Plumbing.
Okay.
And he brought up a good point, which I thought was a good point. He said that there should be training for service and training for new construction.
There should be.
Two different schools of thought. So you go down one road, you're taught exclusively all the service points of it and exclusively all the new construction.
Yep.
And then a few people were chiming in saying, no, it should just be one school. You teach both. But I think you want to educate, you want the top gun of service, the top gun of residential. That's what I'm trying to think. That's what I was expressing where I agreed with him. Like, you'll get more training if you go make it exclusively about servicing.
You would.
You don't have to worry about just the 9 to 5, so to speak. And I'm not dismissing residential. I'm just saying it is that clock in the morning, do your pipes and do your work, your scope, and then clock out. Service is a different kind of animal.
It is. And that's what I mean. Some guys just don't want it, right? But it is a different type of thing, right? There is things of service of the repairs that, yeah, as a plumber, those are just... You should know that, right? You should know how to fix that. There could only be a cartridge, something simple at that, right? Once it starts to get more into the equipment side and to, you know, certain things of knowing where the clog is, you know, if you're in a high rise, knowing where it is, know where it's showing up, know where it's not showing up, so you know that's not the problem, right? Stuff like that takes, yeah, if you're not thinking about it all the time and you haven't had that come up, right, then you're not going to know, right? You're not going to clue in to know that, oh yeah, you know what, this can't be involved with this because it's not showing over here. It's not backing up over here. It's only backing up over there, right? So you eliminate things.
Attention contractors and construction professionals. Do you feel like your expenses are way too high? Imagine cutting your spending by 28%. At Schooley Mitchell, they dig deep to help you save on essential expenses that could be impacting your bottom line. Their risk-free analysis allows you to concentrate on your trade while they find those savings for you. Don't let extra expenses keep you from achieving the success you deserve. Reach out today to schedule your risk-free analysis and unlock your savings. Find them at www.schooleymitchell.com/office/AEGIUGGIO/about. Or reach out to them at erica.jugio@schooleymitchell.com. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Being a plumber, does everybody just call you for every stupid plumbing problem? In your circle of friends, your family members and everybody?
They do, yeah, which is all right.
But shouldn't they figure it out on their own?
If it's that simple and they got the tools, you know. Again, now, you know, now that I'm off the tools, I don't have all my tools with me anymore. I don't have all the drills and this and that and everything that I did when I had my van. So I was able to do everything. Now, even for myself at home, there's certain things. It's like, you know what? I'm going to call my Uncle Mark, or I'm going to call my buddy Danny, who's an electrician. It's like, listen, yeah. I don't got my tools. I don't got my stuff. I just need this fixed, right? Where normally I would just do it. If it was minor, right, I would do it on myself, right?
What's the biggest problem in, I guess, residential that you, I guess, kids maybe throwing stuff down the toilet? They would step the wipe problem, too, as well.
Kids, yeah, kids, wipes. Residential, there's not too much. Like, again, it's just the standard stuff. Toilet sinks, kid puts a toy in the toilet, you know, stuff like that, right?
G.I. Joe getting stuck down the pipe.
G.I. Joe's, right? Yeah. Same old stuff, nothing crazy. Houses, water main breaks, bringing the new mains into the house.
Yeah, and that's the issue, right?
It could happen anytime.
It could happen anytime, and then the city's always upgrading them. Let me ask you on the high-rise stuff, where are the failures, mechanically speaking? So let's say, okay... Most of the times, if a unit is clogging up and they're calling you, that's a charge. That's a fee to the homeowner that belongs to that unit, right?
Right.
But
if they own it, right?
So,
yeah. Just a tenant, then either if the whole building's a rental, then
who's paying for this?
The owner of the building.
Yeah, the tenant's not paying for this.
No. Unless
but
it's a condo.
They caused it.
Well, they do. Those are the perks, right? If they caused it, again, it's one thing if it's on purpose. If they did it on purpose, then that's something different. If it's a clog, it's a clog, right? It's
See, I've got a tenant, right? And I did the split on the central vac. And I want it to be nice enough. Here's a goal. You got a port, you got a central vac, you take care of the unit, keep it clean, right? They clogged it. And then they gave me the spiel about how, I don't know how I got clogged. And I know that the line, my side is not clogged. So they suck something up from their line and it's preventing from going to the tank, right? So I try to explain to them, you guys obviously suck something up, but now it's a question of, technically speaking, they should be billed for that because I have to service it and get it unclogged, but I split it up for that reason. So if you ever did anything, you can't point the finger at me.
As long as they're aware of that.
Yeah. Right?
As long as they're fully aware of that and whatever the agreement like is that you guys have,
yeah.
Which obviously has to be in writing.
Yeah.
Right? So at the end of the day, as long as everyone's agreeable to that, 100%.
But people still are accountable. They're like looking at you going, no, it's just been like dust and hair and on the floor. Yeah, well, something large enough got sucked in and now it's stuck at an elbow somewhere. And I did that for a reason. So then I know that if it did happen, it's the same way you do the piping the same way, the same way you do the electrical the same way. You just sever that whole second unit separately, right?
Yep.
You have that and you can kind of explain to them going, listen, if something goes wrong, you guys are accountable for it.
As long as it's not misuse. Again, if it's wear and tear,
that's different.
It's wear and tear.
That's different.
Right? But wear and tear is wear and tear.
That brings up my, like, so when you go in, what are the things that are failing now based on just wear and tear? Like, are pumps, HVAC, or other kinds of things, are they failing over time, or are they pretty durable?
Well, things don't last as long as they used to, right?
Plastic components and shit?
No, not plastic. Like equipment, motors, stuff like that, right?
Okay.
Things don't last as long as they're supposed to. But again, as long as everything's maintained, right? That's the thing, too. You got to make sure that everything is being maintained the way it should be maintained. And as long as all that's being maintained, changing filters, checking amperage, all these things, water softeners, as long as that's all being maintained,
you're fine.
You're fine. But you are going to get, again, sometimes after 3 years or 4 years, randomly, something will break, right? Where it's not supposed to break, but
it
breaks, right?
Yeah,
things happen, right? So, but most of the components, everything's good. Everything is good as long as everything is all maintained. It's very important. Maintenance is huge, where a lot of people don't do it. A lot of people don't do maintenance.
They don't think about it until something happens,
right? Like your car, right? You change your oil because you have to. Other than that, and filter here and there, no big deal until something breaks. But there is a lot more things that we should be doing.
Speaking of which,
we don't.
Have you noticed that most new cars, they've extended the frequency of changing oils? Do you think that's on purpose so then the vehicles can actually break down?
Well, maybe. Could be.
I change it a lot sooner than that they're suggesting changing it.
Yeah, mine's once a year.
Well, it depends on how many kilometers you get, right? But they're getting as high as 20,000 kilometers before you change oil.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Mine, I drive a Yukon Denali, and it's...
That's the recommendation that they're giving you?
Oh, yeah.
You don't think that's like...
Well, it... We would have to prove that, right? So if we can't prove that, and if it's what it is, then that's your recommendation. That's your vehicle. Who am I to be telling you that the way that we were doing it before wasn't wrong? Right.
I know, but so we all know from being younger, the old green appliances lasted longer. I never heard my parents ever say we need to bring a...
I was just talking about this yesterday with my brother-in-law.
To repair this fridge, stove, whatever it was, freezer. There was never a service call for that stuff.
No.
There's service calls for washing machines and all these appliances now all the time.
Yeah.
Why? It's design.
It's design, of course.
Do they get you frustrated to purchase a new one? Or probably to continue servicing, right?
Or they do it on purpose that every 6-7 years,
change.
You got to buy new plants, right? And make that the norm. We were talking about this yesterday. My father-in-law had a fridge. He had it for 37 years or 35 years.
Not a single problem.
Changed the compressor. And that was it.
They probably changed it because it wasn't the right color for the new kitchen.
Well, no, because they ended up painting the doors. Right?
They painted the doors of the fridge?
They painted the doors of the fridge and it looked mint. It looked sharp. Yeah, you couldn't even tell.
What color was it? What color it became?
It was the yellow. It was the yellow.
A yellow and it became white?
Was it white?
Or black?
No, I think it was white. Maybe a Remy was white.
Could you take a grinder to it, a wire brush, and then make it polish? Like you get it right down to bare... No, because it's going to rust.
No, it's going to... Yeah. You would just...
So you painted it. I'm sure just
clean up. Yeah. I think you sprayed it and it...
Did he use like auto tape? Like he was painting a car or something like that?
No, I don't think so. I think because when you pull it out, like the back is still yellow, right? So I'm not sure where he did it, but he probably just sprayed it in position and...
As long as it doesn't have orange peel on it.
No.
He just rolled it with a brush and roller, right?
No, he sprayed it.
He sprayed it, right?
Yeah, he was...
But that's my point, is that all these older appliances and machines, they lasted forever. We didn't need service people to take care of them. But nowadays, all the new stuff, you have to have service people take care of them.
Yep. And a lot of them.
What about laundry? Because you guys got to service laundry too in high-rise buildings.
No. Just the drain.
Just the drain, yeah. I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, what are they... I don't know. Would something go down the drain? What if they left stuff in the pockets? It's probably nothing, eh?
No, that would all get caught mostly in the machine.
In the machine, in their little basket thing in the front there.
Yeah. Like lint goes by and stuff like that, right? But if it can't get down through the drain, I think they got like some type of screens there to hold it.
Here's a thought. I don't even have thought about how this works, but somebody's got to be doing the service for prisons.
Oh, absolutely. Everywhere. Hospitals.
But I mean, if you've got a shitter that's full in a prison cell, what are you doing? Bringing the plumbing guy to come in to...
Oh, I don't know what they do in there. I've never worked
there. I'm just curious about how
I've never
work?
Done service there, so I'm assuming they would have their own people in there that takes care of that.
Yeah, unless, that makes sense. You'd have to have
they would have their own people
you
in there.
You can't be bringing Joe Schmo from outside.
No.
Because then it could be like a breakout.
No, they have their own people, and that's what they do, and unless it's major, that it involves construction, right? But if that's what that is, they have their own people.
But you guys would also service... Would it be the same thing for hospitals?
So we don't do service for hospitals, but
there is companies that do service for hospitals.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
That's got to be storytelling.
Oh, absolutely it is. Yeah. We've never done actual service calls there, but my old company that I used to work for, we used to work in hospitals and run dialysis lines and change drains and so on. And unless that area was blocked off, right, you would kind of see you would be in the hallways and so on, right? Because it can be done during that time.
What about being a plumbing service person for a cosmetic surgery business?
Yeah, funeral homes, yeah.
Or funeral homes.
Yeah, we do that.
You do funeral homes?
Yeah.
What's that?
I've only heard stories. We haven't had an actual incident where you see crazy stuff. Well, you could see anything in the drain, right? I'm not sure. Like, they put whatever goes down the drain, right?
When they're embalming?
Well, I don't know.
I thought they had to... bag it or separate.
Well, maybe they do. I don't know what they do and what goes down the drain or not, but again, we find things in drains of everywhere, right? And how they get there, sometimes things get by and things get put in the drain, right? At the end of the day, it's not like it's not going to happen, right? Slaughterhouses, right? Cutting into the bloodlines, right? Adding T's to these drains, new things, right? That's all plumbing. It's all pipe fitting, plumbing.
When did you get off the tools?
2013.
So now you're just strictly sales and business?
Yep. Estimating project management, yeah.
What does that entail? So a lot of it has to do with you getting on site, meeting new clients or existing clients?
Existing clients, contracts from other general contractors, developers.
As subs?
Bidding on the job.
Yeah. Okay.
Pricing the job to do the mechanical.
These days, are you getting asked to lower your price or are you still...
Well, that's always, that's
just
an everyday.
That's construction in general.
That's an everyday. Every day. It's up to you if you want to do that, right? If you want to lower your number, and it's up to you. You're either low or you're not, right? And there's always going to be someone that's always going to chop you up. So it is what it is, right?
It's not fair, though, because the work.
Oh, no.
Right?
No, definitely not fair, but I think everyone should keep their numbers where it should be and...
Shouldn't there just be like a standard? Like mechanics, they have a standard regarding their rates.
There should be, yeah.
So
but then you go to Mercedes, it's a...
Yeah, it's
$1,800 for an oil change, right?
Yeah, it's a different standard at that point. But when you're servicing. You're not going to service a Mercedes versus servicing a Honda. You're still you're providing the same service.
Again, everyone has different prices, right? Hourly rates versus project rates, right?
Are a lot of people getting into this industry, that particular yours, starting up new businesses? Are you seeing more competition?
Oh, yeah. There's competition everywhere. Yeah. New guys coming in. And that's great, right? I did it. They did it. My dad did it, right? It's all a matter of showing up and doing a good job. Huh?
You guys are also doing on the mechanical side. Are you doing the installations as well, too? Insulating the lines and things like that?
No, we have a subcontractor for that.
You sub that out for that, right? Yeah. What do you use for that? Or do you know?
We got a couple of guys. We use Icon out of Toronto.
Okay. Okay.
And Apex.
Okay.
Out of Kitchener. So there's two or three companies that we use.
Yeah, I had a guy on the show. He reached out. I never even knew about that whole industry, but it made sense, right? It's kind of an industry that I think there should be in residential. I know it's in all commercial, industrial units.
Yeah, nobody would do that in residential.
If you're wealthy enough and you care about your home, you would do it because it's retaining the heat and cold of
moving
the air.
Well, at that point, when you're into that level too, right? Stuff like that is taken into effect that they should do it and keep it efficient and contain all the heat and stuff, but I mean, it doesn't always, unless it's a major system, right? Then it has to get insulated no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
Attention aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I'm just fascinated by it. Like, it's just, it's a hard job.
It's a hard job. Some days it's hard, absolutely. Like everything else, right? Some days it's hard. There's, you know, you're digging trenches and you're digging holes or doing underground or hanging mains and stuff like that. Yeah, other days it's not so bad, right? So there's the days that you got to go crazy, and there's the days that you just do your steady job, right?
You guys ever go and guest speak at trade schools or talk to the kids to get the new?
Actually, I did that 2 months ago.
To which school?
At Conestoga College, the trade campus.
How did that go? Yeah,
it's good. It's good.
How many kids were sitting there listening?
I'd say close to 40.
And it was specifically, were you the one, or was there many?
No, there was three of us.
Okay, there what was the other trade? Oh, so it was all from CJ's? Is that what
no,
it
was? No.
Okay.
Three different companies.
Plumbing only, or three different trades?
Mechanical companies.
Mechanical companies. Yeah. So you guys were all speaking on mechanical side of things.
Yep, just talking about mechanical, our trade, you know, our an everyday expectance of going into construction. And
what did you guys talk about? I'm curious.
Showing up on time.
Okay.
Right. No phones.
Okay.
Producing, you know, working, doing what you're supposed to be doing. And
Production,
right? Doing a good job. Right? Yeah. Breaks, you know, 10-minute breaks or 10-minute breaks, 30-minute lunches, you know, cleaning up after yourself, having a safe work environment, keeping yourself organized, right? So, but it starts with showing up on time.
Right? Why is that such a problem?
I think it's... It's a problem that's been accepted.
When you were younger, did you show up on time?
Always.
I always showed up on time.
That's me. I was here 20 minutes early.
I know.
Because, right? Again, I don't like to be late.
You asked me, like, okay, is that two on the dime? Or is that, yeah. I was like, look, I'm talking to a plumber.
Yeah, like, no, because, again, I'm just, I need to be where I got to be on time early.
So you time exactly what, and then you got to factor in, okay, well, there might be traffic here, so then...
Might be a snowstorm.
Something, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But it's funny that you got to speak to children, kids in trade school. They were not kids. How old are they?
No, they're in their 20s, 30s.
That's what I mean.
Some are in their 50s.
And you're like, talking about show up on time.
Well, and again, it's not with everybody.
But it's a talking point in your presentation.
It's a talking point.
It's
way worse now than what it was back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the foreman would just...
What would they do?
Well, the one foreman that I have, it was very straightforward. Very straightforward.
Just go home?
Well, I'm sure with some guys he did. But yeah, it would get to a point where this is what it is. Do it again. You're not going to be here anymore.
Did they do it again?
No. Oh, no. But some did later on in time. And then you get to a point where it's, you know, you just can't do that, right?
Did they ask any interesting questions? And I'm bringing this up because I'm trying to get more and more kids on the show to give them an opportunity to ask and engage and talk, because I want them to be more engaging into the curiosity of the industry. And I find that a lot of them are not. Either they're fearful of bringing up a point, or they're fearful of being criticized.
No, they talk.
They talk. They talk. Yeah.
They should talk more. They should talk more. They should ask more questions.
But what was some? Do you remember some of the key points that they brought up? Like questions that they asked? Was it about money?
It's always a money question.
So money.
It's always a money question.
Yeah, and
right?
It's unfortunate that.
And that's what's on a lot of the conversations you have with anybody off the hook.
But I've always told the kids, first of all, listen, plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, recession proof. Economy and countries fall and everything sucks, you're going to have a job still.
Yeah.
So we're always going to have a job. That answers your money question. Yep. Shut up now.
Yeah, we're always going to have a job. Like everybody else, you got to start at the bottom. Start at the bottom and you work your way up.
Simple.
Right? You do your hours, do your 1,800 hours, you get a raise. You should be getting a raise. right? $1,800, you get another raise.
What's a kid starting at these days?
I know with us, because we're union, they're $20
Okay.
Right, $20
That's out of the gate?
Right out of the gate, day one.
And then they start doing it. What are you guys, 9,000 hours or 7,000?
9,000.
9,000 hours, yeah. Right? So now, and it's still 1-to-1, right? Ratio-wise?
I think it's 2-to-1.
2-to-1?
I think it's 2-to-1.
Okay. And then how long is it? So 9,000 hours is what?
5 years.
5 years, right?
Yeah.
And then they have to write.
Then they write up to the 5 years. Yeah. Test is not easy.
No doubt at all,
test,
right?
Test is not easy. There's a lot more kids failing now than there ever was.
I should try it. I wonder if they give me a makeup test and I just do it myself.
Well, you'd have to.
I don't know if I'd pass.
You would have to make sure that they would take it because they probably wouldn't just take a Joe Blow if you have no background.
No, right? I would just do it because I want to do it as an experiment.
Yeah. Right?
I should actually try to reach out and see if I just do it as an experiment to see so I can do all of them. I want to do all of them. Or they're probably just...
Well, but you would have to have a background, right? If you don't have a background, I'm testing you on, then...
No. I'd like to do the plumbing, electrical, HVAC. And I just want to see which one I would do best in.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just
probably trying to do better in HVAC.
There's a lot in HVAC, man.
Sorry, sheet metal. I talk about HVAC as sheet metal. I talk about sheet metal when I say HVAC.
Yeah, you know, I get it.
Right, but HVAC is AC guys. AC guys, yeah, that's also... Yeah. That's another knowledgeable skill.
All the mechanical guys are probably listening. They're like going, man, you don't know shit. I go, I never said I did. I just want to see what the test is like, yeah. Right?
Oh, you'd fail miserably.
You don't know if I'd be miserably failing. I don't know. You never know. You might be. I know a fucking thing or two. You know what I mean?
And that's the other thing, too, is there are a lot of guys have a hard time passing the test.
Why?
It's just the way that it's worded, right? It's just...
So it confuses you.
It confuses you, right? But at the end of the day, put these guys on the field.
They'll figure it out.
These guys are probably the best guys on the field. Right,
because I feel like the test should be a combination of both parts.
Well, it is a combination. It's just not a lot of everything, right? There's a lot of hard questions on there, right?
It's multiple choice, right?
It's multiple choice.
Yeah,
but we get tested on Canada, right?
Good point.
Where we're only learning about the Ontario codebook, right?
See, so you're getting tested on the national, but you're working in the provincial.
That's right. So there's a lot of things that we don't touch on, right?
Yeah, I remember doing that.
So, but again, that's just how and the tests are.
I argued it because it's not in the Ontario. It's not on the OBC, but it's on the national. So then you got the question wrong, right? And I'm like, that's not fair. If I'm not allowed, first of all, I'm not, technically speaking, you're not allowed to work outside of Ontario.
Technically, I'd have to go there.
You'd have to go and write to whichever province you go to.
Yeah, either show them. So they would probably just take my ticket and just accept it. Right? Or there would be a small little aptitude test or something that you would have to just...
You challenge it,
right?
Yeah, that's it.
Which, everyone's got their own different things, right? So
unless it's Quebec, then it's just an envelope full of money.
Yeah, for those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying Quebec's corrupt with the CCQ. I'm sorry it is, but that's what it is. It's a mafia, no?
That's what I've always heard.
But I wonder why people just stay there and keep on working there, because it's just like they know that they got to pay all these bills, all this extra money.
Well, again, I'm not too sure.
I know. But CCQ.
I couldn't even tell you whether it happens or not, and to who.
So you're saying more guys are failing than more guys are passing. You think that they're ready to write the test, but they're not ready to write the test.
No, it's not that they're not ready. It's just the test is hard. It's a hard test. Like, you have to be focused. You have to be all in for these exams. And you know, that's why whenever we get apprentices, we try to push them out to their first term at the end of their third term of apprenticeship.
Okay.
That way their second term is in their fourth term.
Okay.
And their final term is in their fifth term, where their hours are done. You're fresh out of school, write the test within days.
The knowledge is in your head.
The knowledge is there, right? If you wait months and months, it's not as fresh.
Here's a question for you, Nelson. Let's take two students, right? Two apprentices. One who doesn't study by the book and one who's constantly on the job site doing everything from the book. Who's going to pass?
The guy in the book.
The guy in the book's going to pass over the guy in the field?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think the guy in the field would pass.
Again, there's a lot of guys, like, I had a hard time in school.
Okay.
Right? I had a hard time in trade school because it was just so many things that I didn't understand. So many different terminologies, and, you know, I had a hard time, right? So after like my third week at trade school, finally a light kicked on that it was, all right, now I know what this all means and this and that. But again, trade school is tough. Trade school is, we have to know our things. Right? We're not just, guys that change toilets and stuff.
No, trade school
is tough. And there's a lot of things that we need that are in the test. There's a lot of things in that test that we'll never use, right? Like, we'll never use that. So why are we learning that?
What's one thing that you can think of that comes to mind that was on the test that you have yet, being an experienced plumber in the field, have ever come across?
Well, sizing heating lines, right?
Okay.
Why would we need to know that? Right? It's always on the drawings anyways. It's always sized, right? We're not the engineers.
No.
I don't get paid to question whether this is the right size unless it's totally obvious, right? If it's totally obvious, then that's a question. If it's not obvious and we're not sure, again, we don't get paid to do that. So why are we learning that? We're not going to use it. Let's focus on something else.
Makes sense.
Right. Sizing roof drains and who cares?
It's on the drawings.
It's on the drawings. It's what it is there, right?
You're already being told what to use.
Exactly.
So why don't they get rid of those questions?
Well, why don't they get rid of them?
Are they just like...
They're just there and they've been there.
They're breadcrumbs on the test, so then it confuses you.
They're just there, yeah.
And then you fail that and all of a sudden... What's the passing mark on a test?
70.
70?
Yeah. And I think they're going to put it at 75.
Fuck. Yeah.
So again, it's not...
I still think I'll pass.
You might. Maybe the electrical test.
No, actually, I think I probably do better on the plumbing than the electrical, man. Electrical would be a lot of calculations, no?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
You'd have to figure out a bunch of shit they would give you a scenario. You got to figure out a bunch of shit on that scenario, right? I'd be like...
Panels, breakers, wire size. There's a lot to that, too. Right?
There's a lot on the plumbing side, too, man.
There's a ton on the plumbing
side. Yeah, and then you compound it for mechanical, man. Yeah. It ain't fucking
around
time.
Plumbers, we're pipe fitters, we're gas fitters. It's pipe, right? Drains, heating lines, different systems. There's a lot of things that people don't value. Plumbers think that plumbers are donkeys, right?
Joe Monkey, I know, I get it.
But there's a lot. We do everything.
They're not. I know, I get it. Dude, I got a lot of respect for all the top three. I got a lot of respect for all the trades. I got a lot of respect for the top three, though, because there's a lot of skill behind all that shit. Right? Yeah.
All of them.
It's not always a wonderland in the job site environment.
No, it never is. But it's what it is, right? We're not in nice rooms with nice lights and TVs on. Right? We're in there in the rain and snowing and minus 20. And it's what it is, right? That's what we chose, right?
I want the kids to understand that this is part of the industry. It's not just about how much money am I going to make? How much money am I going to make? You're going to make a lot, trust me.
You're going to make a lot.
If you learn.
Just show up, yeah.
Just show up and
learn. Show up, do a good job. Do what you're told, do a good job. When you get your ticket, go do your thing.
Yeah, either stay, be a part of it,
start
your own thing, one or the other.
Yeah.
But you have the option now to do either once you get your ticket.
Yep, learn how to do it right, and then you can figure out how to do it fast.
That's a good way to look at it.
It's very important that everything's got to be square, straight, right? It's quality, right? Even though that we're still, a lot goes on, everything's got to be nice and straight, square, proper slope.
So who are the monkeys that are doing it? Looks like shit. Looks like a dog's breakfast.
Why don't they care?
They just don't give a shit?
Some don't.
Okay.
Some don't, some do, right? But again, there's a lot more that do care that don't. But again, there's always going to be a mix, right? Always going to be a mix.
What's your favorite toilet these days?
Favorite toilet? I don't know. The white one.
The white one? No, is there not a toilet? Do you not look at, I may be generalizing here. I assume plumbers look at toilets the same way that guys look at cars or something like that. No? Something like that?
Not me, no.
No? No. A toilet is a toilet? As long as you flush and it fucking goes away and it swirls around.
It's got to look pretty nice too.
Like the toilets of today, they don't.
There's so many brands.
I know. So is there a particular one that you're like, that's a good looking toilet? You know what I mean? No?
Not really. The standard ones, the toilet, again, it's not something that we stare at every day, right? It's not like it's a Mustang.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Do you remember CMPX a few years ago? They started putting flames on all the HVAC, the furnaces and boilers and shit. They started putting these designs on some of the models and shit to just make them look a little more cooler. Yeah. And I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I thought just a gray, clean metal, if it's properly fitted and set up properly, that's sexy. It's like putting bumper stickers on a car. I didn't like it. It made no sense.
It's just that's just marketing.
Yeah, maybe just to get chatter.
It's good marketing.
But I was at a place, a friend, and he was showing me some toilet that he was experimenting with from China. It was a knockoff, of course, right? But when he was telling me the guts of the toilet, and he was telling me the cost of it compared to, and it has all the bells and whistles, right? Heated seat, bidet, hidden skirt, all this shit, yada, 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 yada. But they were like, there's no instructions to really read.
No.
You have to figure out if everything's going to be.
And it's not cheap.
It's still cheaper than getting, I guess, the Canadian approved version or the American approved version. Just China's parts, just knocking it off, right?
Sorry? But parts, though. Like, you're not looking at parts, right?
But it was funny, he was telling me that this came out of the same factory that makes this big brand that a lot of people know about.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
And I'm like, that's how
absolutely
it works.
Does. Absolutely
so he,
does.
He said the first two that he tried out, because they ship it to him, the first two he tried out were leaking. He was like, they were bullshit. And I'm like, well, that's unfortunate that you set it up and all of a sudden it starts leaking. Now you're going for try number three. Is it going to leak as well, too?
Yeah. No, that's not really my thing.
I like looking at toilets, trying to figure out. I learned something early in my construction career that women don't like sitting on square toilets.
Square?
Square-seated toilets.
I think I've only ever seen one of those.
Kohler has a new me.
Oh, yeah?
Totals are a lot square than oval-shaped. Women do not consciously like sitting on a square toilet. They have a problem sitting on a square toilet. But it didn't make any sense to me because we all sit on square chairs.
Right.
So why is it a toilet that's square? Before you look at it, like before you sit down on it and you look at it, you know that it's square and you're sitting on it, you have an unconscious issue with it being a square shape. Men don't have a problem with square toilets.
That thought's never crossed my mind. The higher, the better.
I don't think you should be. Sometimes I hate going to a friend's place and he's got a regular toilet and you go to sit down and all of a sudden it's like, it feels like you drop 6 inches or something, man. I'm like, dude, like get a comfort toilet. High toilet. Like everybody has comfort high toilets nowadays. Yeah. Get a comfort height one.
Comfort height, elongated.
Elongated?
Yeah.
It's important.
Comfortable.
You know, unless the bathroom's a powder room and it's tiny and you got to get a short one.
Yeah, of course.
I get it. Then just get the better aim. That's all it is, man.
Yeah.
It's just, you start reading about all this. There's a whole thing about how people don't want drains and showers in the center anymore because they don't want to be standing in the water that's pooling because subconsciously they think that all that water is dirty and they're dirtying their feet. There's all this shit that I read this shit and I'm like, I can't believe the psychology of people.
Yeah, people come up with.
You just care about the water's flowing.
It's just got to go downhill.
And there's a turbine on it and it's just gone because it was clogged. What else do you want to share, man? We mostly spoke about plumbing because that's your specialty.
Yeah, that's my specialty.
Softeners? You guys hook up softeners, eh?
We hook up softeners, yep. That's our service side. Well, daily service side, right? Our construction, again, we do that in the bigger scale.
I got to look into a softener. Are they worth it?
If you need one. Yeah, if you need one, again, you don't.
It depends on where you are, I guess.
It all depends where you live. Waterloo region, we need it.
And how much calcium is going into the water or how much
fluoride? It's just super hard, right? The water's super hard.
So more rural areas, right? Not the city areas.
Well, again, everyone's different, right? Mississauga doesn't need it. Milton doesn't need it.
Sewer, you guys do sewer line repairs as well, too?
Yep.
City for city contract or something like that?
No, mostly just for the residential, like on the private property. Okay. On the city side, the city takes care of that stuff.
We
do it from the property line in, whether it's a building or house.
What's A plus BBB rating? What is that?
A plus BB rating.
Yeah, it's under the plumbing section of your website. A plus BB rating. I cut and paste it.
I don't know. I'll have to ask the guy who built my website.
I don't know what that means, man. I don't know what that means. Then on the electrical side, on the backflow, sump pumps. What's a grinder pump?
Grinder pump, it chews everything up, right?
Oh, carburetor.
No. So a grinder pump, for example, we use it for a sewage pump, right? The solids, paper, all that stuff, it grinds everything up.
In the sump pump?
In the sump pump, yeah. It's almost got like teeth in it, and it grinds everything up, and it turns it into a liquid and pumps it out. Right? That's all mixed with the water.
That's, okay, so...
That's a sewage pump.
That's a sewage pump.
Right.
So you're getting solids coming into the sump pump that's...
No. Sump pump's the sump pump. Sump pump is for the rainwater.
Yes.
That's just rainwater.
You have another pump now.
Many buildings have, yeah. I have a sewage pump.
So that sewage waste goes into that pump.
Sewage waste goes into there.
And it grinds it all up and then shoots it out.
Pumps it out.
Oh, so it's an injector.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was teeth. I've never installed one. I never knew that. So that's what it is. So if you're below the waistline, right?
If you're below the waistline, then they put pits and pumps in, yeah.
Yes.
And it chews it all up.
And then it pumps it out.
Pumps it out as a liquid.
How high does it go to pump it out?
Could go...
Or whatever it is.
Whatever the pump's rated for it to go, yeah.
It's just a bunch of teeth on the inside of the pump?
Yeah, it's like a blade on the bottom, right? Could be teeth, could be a blade, where as it spins, it's chopping it up and it's sucking it up and how it goes.
It's called a grinder pump.
Grinder pump, sewage pumps, yeah.
And you got to service those all the time?
Well, again, not all the time, but yeah, it's good to service them twice a year. Make sure everything's operating, working. Floats.
I'm just picturing like a horror movie, man. Like you got.
Don't put your hand there.
Yeah, don't put your hand in there, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like the tree thing.
The tree thing, yeah. Well, not that bad, but enough to do damage.
Disconnect it completely before you
service. Oh, definitely. Power off. Yeah. Power off, unplug it, everything.
That's pretty dangerous. That's pretty scary, no?
Yeah, again, it could happen, but hopefully, again, you get the power off. Everything we have to have the power off to, right? Like, there's no purpose of having it on unless you need to have it on.
To test it, to see it's working.
To test it or see what the problem is. If you're going to change it, yeah, power off, disconnect it, and pull it out.
Do you have to change the blades every so often? Or do they last?
They're changeable, but they're not not every so often. I get it. It all depends. It all depends on what shape that they're in. Right? Stuff like that, you can change. It's part of the pump, and it just, you have to change the entire pump, right?
I've never seen one of those. Testing backflow preventers. How do you test them?
Test them? So we have a device. It's a device. Obviously, you have to go get a backflow certification.
Yeah. I've heard of that. Yeah.
And you test the device, right?
I'll pass that test. Kitchen, okay, all right, so then sewer line replacement that we were talking, water line replacement. What do you mean water line replacement?
Water supply service line? Coming into the building.
Service coming in. Yep. The main service.
Yeah.
Which is typically what, a 4-inch? No, it's greater.
No, to the houses, they're a lot smaller. They're
high rise though.
High rise, yep, if we have to. Typically we don't.
No?
Well, they're all sizes. They're all different sizes. All depends on the building, the volume.
And then gas hookups, you do all kinds of gas hookups, water heaters. What do you prefer, a hot water tank or tankless?
Well, I've had a tankless for 19 years. Yeah. Tankless is great. Love it. Never had a problem with it.
You ever get a cold spurt when you're taking a shower?
Once in a while. Once in a blue moon, you will. It happens. But it's always fixable.
How did I know that? Yeah. I must have taken a test.
It happens.
Installation of sinks, disposals, toilets, tubs, faucets. You guys are installing tubs too?
On that's high-rise? Plumbing fixture, yeah, everything.
Bidets, everything. Then?
All the fixtures, whatever is specified.
Is there an increase in bidets?
It's slowly coming back in.
I like them.
Yeah. All the Europeans have them.
I'm European. I like them. Well, all the Asians have them too, right?
I don't know, do they? Is it big in?
It's huge. Huge, man. I was in Japan and I went to a McDonald's bathroom and they had one. Heated bidet in a McDonald's in Japan. Tokyo. Public washroom.
It's different up there.
What else you want to do? You know what I don't like? I bring this up sometimes, is that gas, the homeowner on low rise can do their own gas if they wanted to. And the TSSA doesn't have the grounds to enter the dwelling to inspect that line if the client doesn't allow them inside their dwelling. They have to first ask, will you allow me into your dwelling? They have the right of refusal, which means that they can't enter now, even though TSSA has been told that they've modified the gas line. They're not a certified gas fitter, but since it's their dwelling, they're allowed to do it. It's the old castle rule bullshit. I was pissed off about that.
Yeah, that's...
I spoke to TSSA about it.
Again, it's in people's... It's different rules apply once, you know, it should be, but unfortunately, once it's in their dwelling, it's whatever they do with it.
HDTV handy homeowner will just take the T off. You know, they know exactly how to turn off the gas supply. Then they'll take the T off and they'll just extend it. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that. Now you've compromised this because you had someone who actually signed it, put a tag on it. And you know what TSA told me? If it explodes, then we'll investigate.
Yeah, that's why they wash their hands, right? It's
they don't have the right to get inside the building.
It's got to come to a point too, right? The cops are no different, right? You can't just walk in anywhere if... And everyone's got their rules and regulations. So with that being gas, yeah, you know what? Yeah, nobody should be touching it, but many people do, right? People touch gas. People do their own plumbing. People do their own electrical, right?
Did you see... Oh, you know what's funny? You're on the show. Good old Mikey Holmesy there.
Yeah.
He's endorsing a hot water tank heat pump. Have you seen this?
No.
It's a heat pump attached to a hot water tank.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
I think that's what the new in thing is now, right? Heat pumps.
You a fan of them?
Oh, I don't got a problem with them. Right? They can be difficult, but, you know, I like keeping things simple, you know. Again, it's just a new product for us to learn.
It's a new product that has to be purchased.
We have to learn if we have to install, if we have to repair it, right? It's kind of a whole different thing, right? So
I got two
pros. Things are going to happen, right? We know things are going to always get better every year, right? It's just a new system, new style.
I got two problems with it, right? I find that heat pumps are going to fail a lot faster than an old school AC unit. And the other problem I have is that there's a certain individual that's running for election right now that his company is producing these products.
Right.
Which causes a conflict of interest, in my opinion. Same way with the heat recovery stack. There's no such thing as a heat recovery stack in high rise, right?
No.
You a fan of those things?
No, that's...
Bullshit.
That's a joke.
I'll say it's bullshit.
That's a joke. I don't... It's in the code. It's in the code.
I know it's in the code. It's in the code because Kathleen Wynne is being compensated by it.
Yeah, that's... I don't agree with that. Code. That's
a conflict of interest.
That's not needed, right? That's not cheap either. That's like $1,000.
I know. It's $1,000. Right? If you're lucky, you can get a regular person installing it. It's like $1,000 to install it.
Right? That's...
It's a waste. It's bullshit waste. I don't care
what it is. Just too bad. I never thought of that idea to make that money, right?
Then you should be a politician.
All right.
You could be a politician. There's no test.
I don't think I'd be very good at it.
There's no test. You don't have to get 75%. I think you barely get 15%. If you want to become a politician, man. I go on and on. And the only reason I bring it up is because someone sent me a DM how they, a professional teacher, spoke out against the heat recovery set, explained his findings on it. And then he was told by the manufacturer, you either stop sharing this video or we'll take legal action against you.
Yeah, it's not right, man.
So someone sent it to me and I was like, well, guess what? I'm going to speak about it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Yeah, I think
it's a bullshit product, right? It's not needed, right?
It doesn't do what it says it does.
No.
The only thing it does do is line the pockets of people who don't know shit.
There's only got to be that one percentage of temperature that changes, right? As soon as that temperature changes a little bit, that's proven to do what
it's supposed to do. You're a plumber for so many years. The temperature of the water coming out at the shower head compared to the temperature of the that same water when it hits the drain, is there a difference? A home built on trust, crafted with care. Your home is more than just a structure. It's where memories are made, where your family grows, and where you find comfort. That's why your renovation or building project deserves nothing less than the utmost care and quality. Because it's not just about creating a space, it's about creating a place where life happens. Tim, the heart and soul behind Ravine View Construction, understands that your home is personal, and whether you want to be involved in every detail or prefer to leave it in the hands of a trusted expert, he and his team are here to make your vision a reality. At Ravine View Construction, every project is handled with the passion it deserves, from the initial site assessment to the final touches that turn a house into a home. Tim's team doesn't just build, they protect what matters most. With a reputation built on trust, excellence, and a commitment to using only the best materials, Ravine View Construction ensures that your home isn't just beautiful, it's built to last. Tim and his team work alongside the finest tradespeople, guiding you through every step so you always feel confident and cared for. Let them help you create a space where you can enjoy peace of mind and cherish moments with those you love for years to come. Connect with Ravine View Construction today at 416-671-0170 or visit them at www.rvchomes.ca. For direct inquiries, email Tim at info@rvchomes.ca. Let them build not just a house, but a home filled with lasting memories. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
The water, well, yeah, there is going to be
a difference. As soon as it exits from the shower drain, the shower head, and then as soon as it goes down the drain, is there a temperature difference between those two temperatures?
Well, very little. Very, very little.
I've measured it to be 10 degrees difference.
Right.
By the time it expels and it hits the air and it gets down to the ground, first of all, it hits you, cascades to the walls, and then it goes down to the drain. It becomes a 10 degree difference right there, just at one moment. So if you're exiting at 104, let's just argue 104 because that's scalding temperature, right? Right? 104. We know that most
104. Scalding temperature,
That'll burn skin. Yep. That'll burn baby and elderly skin. That's a fact, right? So if it exits at 104 and it hits the drain at 94 now, and now it's got to travel to your hot water tank, but it's got to hit the heat recovery stack first. Now, the heat recovery stack, generally speaking, is closer to the hot water tank than it is to the drain of the fixture.
No, it has to be on the drain where the shower is hooked onto, right?
You're allowed to piggyback so many units for each heat recovery stack, but I believe I got to double check it. I thought it was 20 feet. You can install it within 20 feet of the shower drain.
Within 20 feet, yeah. Yeah, as long as you're within those distances, yeah.
So and now again, you're going through.
That cold water line just goes through that line there. And if that warm water heats up that cold line just a little bit,
okay. So right? You're leaving the drain at 94, and now you got to travel 20 feet. In ABS pipe, not cast iron. So ABS doesn't retain the heat.
Nope.
So now you got to assume how much is going to drop temperature-wise by the time it gets to the heat recovery stack.
It'll probably drop another 10 degrees at least.
Yeah, and so now you're dropping about 10 degrees. So we're just playing hypothetical, 84 degrees. Now you get to the heat recovery stack that's running regular water around it to catch the energy from that 84 degrees. It's got to go through, I don't know how many feet of pipe is in there.
The cold water line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably got
now
10
it's going,
feet.
Yeah, so now all it's doing is swirling around that copper pipe of 4 feet. It's got to be dropping another 10.
Yeah, but the drain doesn't go around that copper, right?
It's
a pipe down the middle, and the cold water line goes around there.
And then so it catches the energy coming from that copper pipe. So as soon as it goes through the ABS, 20 feet, and then it goes around there, now that cold water is supposed to catch it and then absorb that heat coming from the 84, but then when we assume it gets to there, probably closer to 64, and now it goes back into the hot water tank, probably at 54, which is very close to the temperature that it was to begin with.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's bullshit. So I just proved to scientists that you guys are full of shit, and this is a money cash grab. Political garbage. period.
Yeah, I was never a fan of
that.
But
it's in the code, so you can't argue it.
It's in the code, you got to put it in.
I've said to inspectors, I go, dude, as soon as you leave, cutting it out, returning it.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah. I go, I know you didn't hear that. Yeah. It's my thought bubble. That's what you saw.
People do that.
I'm going to return it. I'm not keeping this shit in here. Done. It passed. I don't care. What else do you want to talk about, man? Before I get to the 12 questions. We cover everything?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty
Is
much.
Is that done on purpose, man, to have the word sex in plumbing?
Yeah, my dad did it on purpose.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past him, man. He probably wrote it down. No, he wouldn't. He probably wrote it down.
I didn't even know about that until 20 years later, too.
It's the first thing I saw when I saw the name, and I was looking at it going, sex. Sex and press.
Yeah, no.
Sex press.
That never came across my mind until someone pointed it out.
Who was it? Man or a woman?
It was my dad's partner.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was just looking at it?
Well, I think it had something to do with that show, that CMX show. Your registration back in the day was your first five letters.
The first five letters.
So your first five letters is CJ.
CJ Sex.
That's right.
Yeah, but now it's CJ Sex Press. It's a cool name. Ready?
All right, let's go.
A person you would trade places with for a day.
George Clooney.
Guilty pleasure.
Nice beer at the end of the day.
What's your least favorite tool?
Least favorite tool? Hacksaw.
Do people still use hacksaws?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to use it when you need to use it, right?
Can't just use a reciprocating saw on?
Well, it all depends, right? It's whatever's more convenient, right? If it's right there, right? Yeah. If that's all I have next to me, that's if I have to use it, I got to use it, right?
Yeah. Biggest risk you ever took?
Being a business owner.
Best compliment you ever got?
That my parents raised me well.
That's nice to hear. What is your favorite beverage?
Gin and tonic.
Bombay?
I'm not picky.
You're not picky?
Whatever.
What never fails to make you laugh?
My kids.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
I don't know.
Nobody's ever given you bad advice?
Oh, I'm sure they have. I just can't
think of it right now.
Can't think of it right now.
You just like throw it off you, man. That's all. It's good. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
You know what? I like doing the hard works. I do concrete. I do forums.
That's hard work.
I like that type of work. It's a lot of guys I know, a lot of friends I know do forums, concrete, and it's... We actually used to do it on the side when we were younger. Me and my buddies, they were concrete guys.
On the
side, yeah.
It's hard work.
It's hard work, yeah.
Favorite curse word?
Fuck.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
I like my pickup truck.
That's two guys in a recent pickup truck. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
You could have done better.
That's a good one. I like that one. Nelson, thank you very much, man.
Thank you very much.
CJ's Express Plumbing and Electrical LTD. You guys handle plumbing, mechanical, HVAC, electrical, and...
Sprinklers.
You get into sprinklers. We didn't talk about sprinklers.
No, we just started sprinklers.
These sprinklers wouldn't go off if I was smoking a cigar in here, right?
No.
They go off on fire, right?
On heat, yeah.
So you need actual fire right next to them for them to go off.
You need a flame close enough for that piece in the middle there to melt.
So once that melts, that's when it engages.
Yep. And it opens the head, opens the valve, and...
It's water inside there, right? It's water. Do some of them have suppression? It depends on the building.
It depends on the building. Suppression systems... Whether they're for sprinkler, whether for kitchen hoods, they're all different type of fire suppression. So,
I'm just trying to figure out how do I smoke a cigar on the show.
Keep the door closed.
Yeah, but as soon as you open it up, you smell it. There's no filtration system in here. It's like It might even get filtered into other offices here, right?
Yeah, well, because of these.
I know.
These returns in here.
I know. I'm just trying to figure out how to do something that I'm not allowed to do.
You got to be creative.
How?
Put in a vape. Strawberry cigar, right?
I'm not a vapor, man. I'm not even a cigarette guy. It was kind of funny. I was at this cigar thing, and one of the guys came up to me, and he's like, you guys think it'd be okay if I smoke a cigarette? And I was like, I don't have a problem with it. Well, I just want to ask around and make sure, because everyone's smoking cigars. I just want to make sure I'm not disrespecting anybody. I was like, I don't think you're disrespecting if you're smoking a cigarette in a cigar lounge.
Yeah, you're smoking.
I joked about
smoking.
Vape. If you vape, that you might be disrespecting. Nobody wants to smell a flavored vape in a cigar lounge, right? Cigarette tobacco would smell similar to a cigar tobacco.
Similar. Yeah.
Right.
Cigar is obviously harsh. It's a lot more. I'm not a cigar guy.
No, you're not? But you're a vape guy?
No. Oh, no, never. I used to smoke cigarettes. And then...
Quit?
Quit years ago.
Good for you. Did your dad?
Yeah, we quit at the same time. Yeah. He was a smoker for 50 years. He was 9 years old.
9 years old?
9 years old, smoking.
Yeah, my dad was young, too. Yeah.
And then he quit.
The same day? You guys give each other a memo?
Well, he quit actually without me knowing, without us knowing. He quit on his own. He got a bit of a scare through the dentist. They took x-rays and they saw blotches and so spooked him a bit, and on his own he quit.
And then you quit.
And then I quit a couple weeks later.
Never went back?
No.
519-621-3111. You guys service what areas?
We service the KW, Waterloo Region,
Waterloo for all you Americans or Quebecers, BCers. Where else are they? What are they?
Hamilton, Woodstock, Brantford.
Hamilton must have some serious shit fucking going through their pipe.
We've done some work there. Yeah.
What else is there? That's it. I think that's everything there, man. Thanks so much, Nelson. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's a great conversation.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Keep up the great work.
We'll do, buddy.
We're out of here.